Hello and welcome to episode 17 of the podcast for the week of November 11th through Saturday, November 17th. I'm Cardzi B, the creator of the Badass Bitches Tarot Deck and host of this podcast. I read tarot for individual clients at events across North America and I'm based in New York City. I got my first tarot deck at age 11 and I've continued to use tarot as a healing tool throughout my life, eventually inspiring me to create and hand illustrate my own deck of badass bitches. So we're already halfway through November, isn't that crazy? I'm still sad that Octoberween is over, but on the upside, my birthday is less than a month away now. Anyway, back to November, which is brought to us by the Truth Bomb King of Swords, reminding us to speak our truth and be impeccable with our word. This helps us to manifest November's other card, Ten of Cups, also known as the Happy Family card, bringing us a state of fulfilling love, abundance, and bliss. For more in-depth info on November's card specifically, you can go back to episode 15 of this podcast. Okay, guys, on to the card of the week. Okay, Ace of Pentacles. This is interesting because a new moon just occurred on November 7th, and that was the new moon in Scorpio. And Scorpio, as we discussed last week, is really about, it's ruled by death. It rules the death card in tarot, and Scorpio kind of oversees death, sex, power. And this is a time of year to really shed, kind of like a scorpion sheds its skin, its shell, shed any of those, anything in those areas that's not serving us. So as this new moon occurred, it was really a time of releasing and looking at what is it that we really don't want to move forward with, what may have served us and we don't need any longer. So it is a time of new beginnings. And as we move into the new moon, into the first quarter moon on November 15th, this Thursday, what is it that as a result of those changes we can now truly allow in? So with the Ace of Pentacles for the card of the week, in the OG Smith Rider Waite, this card shows a hand holding a giant pentacle coming out of the clouds. The clouds symbolize a new opportunity that's being presented to you. Sometimes, like, because, you know, it's literally coming out of the clouds, it seems to be coming out of thin air. The Ace of Pentacles announces an opportunity that's, you know, it's up to you to make it happen. It's going to undeniably be presented to you, but it really is, you know, are you going to take it and run with it? The Ace of Pentacles, like all aces, represents new beginnings and potential. Because this card is in the Pentacle suit, it's ruled by the element of Earth and will most likely have to do with money, finance, and work specifically because of that. I mean, but it can be any energetic opportunity, but because of the suit, it's probably work and money related. This card often means that you might have a new job or a new client or possible career-related news that opens up a door in some way. And no matter what the opportunity is, the Ace of Pentacles brings a feeling of prosperity and abundance, and it comes with this kind of new, exciting beginning energy of, ooh, this is a great opportunity. And even with this positive energy of Ace of Pentacles, it's really important to remember you still need to put in that work to continue and create the success. In my deck, this is Ming Lee Simmons, daughter of Kimora Lee and Russell Simmons. At age 18, Ming took over the reins from her mother, heading up Baby Fat. And I have to say, I work with Ming personally, and her enthusiasm and creative drive make Ming the perfect embodiment of Ace of Pentacles. With the first quarter moon going into Aquarius on Thursday, November 15th, it's also a time to remember it's okay to just start, that time is spherical, progress is in a spiral, it's not so linear of, oh, if I start this, I have to finish it, or, oh, if I start this, it means X, Y, and Z. And Aquarians can be, my best friend is an Aquarian, and they're so creative, they have a million ideas, but one of the limitations can be the fear of starting something because it, you know, it is kind of fluid and it's air energy and it is spherical. So that this is a time in the first quarter moon to just let yourself do it. Just see where it goes and just make it happen. You know, don't question all of the small details. Don't limit yourself with, linear time and how you think it needs to happen or how you think it should look. Just follow this opportunity that's presenting itself in Ace of Pentacles and see where it leads you. Okay. Okay, I feel like that is just an under-celebrated message from Mariah. Just, like, believe in yourself. Make it happen. And with that, I've referenced this week's guest podcast previously, and she's bringing Truth and Clarity into November as our featured King of Swords and Badass Bitches Tarot. I'm so excited to introduce the writer, producer, and creator of Finder Seekers podcast, Anne Nezipor.
Hey, welcome. So hey, thanks. Excited to have you on.
Thank you.
I feel like I've been announcing it for weeks and then taking it back, but you're actually finally here.
Ta-da!
Yay. So I keep referencing Finder Seekers and kind of things that you speak about on the podcast and things that you've posted. And it just kind of, a big part of the podcast has now become, in addition to tarot, kind of how people have come out of the spiritual closet in a way, mm-hmm. and how they've been, I guess, more open in sharing their practices. And I think that's so much a part of what your podcast is about. So how did you decide to start it? What was your process in that?
Yeah, coming out of the spiritual closet is such a thing, you know? I feel like we all live in this cool day and age where it's not cool to be religious. Like our parents' generation, everybody had a religion. You went to church, and even if you didn't, you pretended you went to church, right? Because it was like, that's what the cool kids do. We all have a religion and we do a thing. And then our whole generation was like, yeah, that's not for me.
Yeah, I was like, ew, for a long time.
Right, no religion, no philosophy, no practices, no rituals, no belief even. Like it wasn't cool to believe in God ever in sort of the liberal intellectual circles that we've been running in for quite a while. And yeah, something's shifting though. Like, I don't know if it's cosmic or astrological or whatever, but something is definitely shifting to where even when I'm afraid to tell people that I have a spiritual life, inevitably when I do, they're like, oh, that's so interesting, tell me more. Like now it becomes a thing you talk about as opposed to an ew, gross, like conversation ender. It's a conversation starter,
you know? It was like a thing you were never supposed to talk about. It was, you know, people always say don't discuss politics and religion, and I think those are two things that are at the forefront of discussion, like for a lot of people right now.
Yeah, well, I mean, religion is such a hot button.
Yeah, I would still say, I mean, I think a lot of the people that listen to my podcast feel like this, like, I'm not religious, I don't identify as religious, but I identify as spiritual. Yeah. And I don't think that the two have to be mutually exclusive,
no.
But I think that you can be one without the other, for sure.
Totally, and if you break it down, religion is a series of philosophies and rituals, right, that have sort of been codified over generations. So to me, I enjoy rituals.
And, I love rituals.
Yeah, and I share, or I obtain my philosophies a lot of times from reading mystical texts or religious texts and having just like a really deep, thorough understanding of them. But yeah, rituals are super fun. And I was just saying this week that if you just had a giant shopping mall filled with rituals and filled with like sets of beliefs and you could pick and choose which ones you liked, right? Like, let's say you really enjoy fasting, right? Like to you that makes you feel connected to spirit. You might do a month of fasting every year just to sort of make space in your tummy or in your body for spirit,
mm-hmm.
right? You might be like, oh yeah, cool, Ramadan, that works for me. You might say that burning incense really makes you feel centered or connected. And so, I mean, there's a number of religions that do that, but you're like, yeah, burning incense, that's a ritual I really like. And you just like had your shopping cart and you just put all of these different rituals into it. And then you went into the philosophy stores and you were like, oh, you know what? Treat others as you'd like to be treated. That's a philosophy I can get down with. Cool. Let's grab that one. Or, mm-hmm. you know, any of the sort of universal love themes or whatever, if you put them all into your shopping cart and you walked out and you said, this is my religion, right? This is the Cardi B religion. It involves tarot cards and Madonna dance-a-thons. But then, and you had other people around you who were like, I'd like to come to a Madonna dance-a-thon and have my tarot cards read. You'd be like, cool, you can join. But there wouldn't be a, well, here's what you have to do to get in or to be in. And if you're not, then you're cut off from spirit. Because nobody can actually do that to you, right?
Absolutely. So is that kind of the goal of your podcast, is to encourage people to, like, choose your own adventure in spirituality, more or less?
Sure, yeah, if my podcast even has a goal. I feel like so much of it is just, I'm so excited by the things that I'm learning and exploring, and I want to share them. And I just like playing in this space. I like talking about the different theories that I connect to, that I come across, and tying them together, right? So if over here there's like a Buddhist tradition that reminds me of like a Christian thing I grew up with, I like to see how like the sort of eternal truths complement each other. And so, you know, Finder Seekers, I think of as sort of just like a blender of these things. And yeah, I get excited to share them. And I went to Central America and had sort of like a spiritual vision quest, where I felt like it was important for, because I was already studying this stuff anyway, just for my own edification and my own spiritual growth. And I felt like it was important that I not hoard all of the knowledge that I was coming across. And I feel like, you know, when I say that out loud, it sounds arrogant, but I felt like I have to share it as part of my growth mission.
Well, yeah, no, I think that that's something that, it's funny, I had that with tarot and a plant medicine experience myself, where it's something I was finding really healing for myself. And not that, I guess it's like when you say like the not hoarding it for yourself, I was like, okay, if this can help other people, like, how can I share that? And mm-hmm. I think that that's like a really, it's Lola the Dom Pom. So yeah, I love that. And I love that you, through Finder Seekers, really make, religions that, or like spiritual practices that people may not know as much about, more accessible. And for me, Christianity was very alienating. I grew up in the middle of Pennsylvania, where I literally, I had driven past KKK rallies. I've seen people holding signs that say Jesus hates fags. So that's to me what Jesus was. And I was like, I want nothing to do with, and I grew up Catholic and rejected the church when I was still in elementary school. And, you know, was intelligent enough to speak my reasons for believing that. And my, you know, my parents were respectful because I was able to kind of explain why it didn't resonate with me at a young age. But I was like, I want nothing to do with that. I didn't like the word God. I was like, even as I came to spirituality, I like speaking about like the universe and like light energy and, you know, universal consciousness. But I think through Finder Seekers, through your work and you referencing Rob Bell's work, who I wasn't familiar with, it's made me less terrified of Christianity, and seeing the way that you and Rob Bell presented is like, oh, if that's what Jesus was truly about, like that's actually what a lot of religions believe and what I believe, but it's just I had seen it through a very jaded filter.
Yeah, growing sure. up. And similarly, I'm sure there's a ton of Christians out there who would say, oh my God, tarot cards. That's the only way that could be true is if you had a deal with the devil. You know? It's
like, if I had a deal with the devil, I'd have a bigger apartment.
But like the truth is like, there's only one truth. There's only one goodness, yeah. And it's all of ours. It belongs to all of us.
Yeah.
And so I grew up pretty Catholic. I just lucked out. I mean, as a young person going to the Catholic church that I was brought up in, none of the priests spoke English very well, so I literally just had no idea what was happening in Mass every Sunday.
Like, what did they speak?
They were all from Italy, so they had this incredibly broken English. And honestly, as an elementary school kid, I had no idea what they were saying. Couldn't identify a single word. And I remember coming out of Mass and my mom being like, "Well, that was offensive," or something, and being like, "I literally have no idea what they said." As like a 12-year-old, couldn't understand them. So that was, you know, the beginning. And then I went to a really intelligent high school that had some really smart religion teachers, some really smart other teachers who were also Catholic. And they didn't make it seem, I mean, there was a lot of a factor that I don't vibrate with now, but there was a lot of, you know, examining things closely and smartly that stuck with me. And I managed to sort of, over the past however many years since high school, gosh, 20 years, I've shed a lot of the stuff that I don't even remember, the stuff that I didn't vibrate with, but the stuff that I did has stuck with me. You know, I had a teacher early on in high school that said, "I might let you down. This school might let you down, the church might let you down, but God will never let you down. And it was like, just like that, he removed all the barriers between us, the individuals, and God. And I was like, huh, no one talked like that before then. And I thought, well, this is that's a really helpful lesson of the day.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, similarly, there were teachers who had political viewpoints that were different from the church. And so they sort of like colored it in. And I thought, okay, so you can be a quote Catholic and sort of think whatever you want, right? And then the older that I got, I was like, no, the Catholic Church is a real entity. It's like a real cult. And if you want to give your money to an entity, you should agree with the things they're doing with that money.
Definitely.
And if you want to give your energy to an entity, which I don't as an adult, you should really take a look at how they're using that energy.
Yeah.
So I have since sort of abandoned ship on any kind of religion. For a while, I was trying to go to a Buddhist temple here in the city, the SGI, the Soka Gakkai International. And I went to a couple of their like chanting sessions, their masses, I don't even remember what they're called, ceremonies.
Mm-hmm.
And at first I was like really into it and I was really engaged and I got really a crazy sort of vibrational buzz
mm-hmm.
from chanting Nam-myoho Renge Kyo for like hours. And I thought, oh, there's something here. Like, I'm tapping into some energy here. And so I was like, how do I, you know, like, become a member? And immediately it was like, you need to buy these things. You need to put these relics in your home. You need to create an altar. You need to. And they were just trying to take my money
mm-hmm.
and tell me how to pray.
Yeah.
And I thought, huh, if I wanted somebody to take my money and tell me how to pray, I would have just stayed Catholic.
Right.
Right? Like, I thought we were doing a different thing here.
Well, I think it's very similar in the mystical world. One of the things that, like, myself and a lot of other psychic healers warn people about is if they're going to tell you you need certain candles, certain oils, or to pay them to remove, quote-unquote, hexes or spells, it's not legitimate.
Right.
You know? Because really, it's what I do in tarot and what my friends do that are psychic mediums is really provide what's kind of in your subconscious or the guides around you.
Yeah.
And beyond that, it's kind of you have the free will to move forward. So it's similar. There are a lot of people that are kind of in the mystic and esoteric world that will try to tell you how to proceed and sell you lots of things to do it. And I don't think that that's, you know, a positive route either.
Yeah. I'm friends with a Reiki healer who said to me, you know, as a Reiki practitioner, she's like, I don't bring in something they don't already have.
Right.
I sort of like clear the pathway so that they can heal themselves.
Yeah.
And I thought like, oh, what an interesting way of couching it. And I feel like anyone who's worth their salt in the sort of spiritual space or the healing space is giving you that same message of like, it's in you.
Yeah.
It's in you. It's a message of self-empowerment,
definitely.
Right? And anybody who's trying to cling to you or get something from you in exchange for that message of self-empowerment,
or
really
tell you there's one way to do it, because there's there are many ways, and you have to really find what's right for you.
Yeah, there's as many ways as there are people, I would imagine.
Definitely.
Yeah,
definitely.
But I do love the choose your own adventure style of spirituality, you know, because there are so many ways, and some of them really connect with you at a certain time in your life, or really connect with you in a certain way that you need at that time. And why wouldn't you use all tools that are available to you to be happy, to find peace?
Yeah, definitely. And I think the more work that you do on that, you kind of, for me anyway, and I always like tell people, friends and clients of mine, you kind of hone in on your intuition of how can you customize it, what feels right for you. Because I give people a lot of advice with like, oh, here's a tarot spread for the new moon, or here's like kind of like a spell ritual, or like a, you know, a healing spell jar. But I always tell people like, what resonates with you? What do you feel like you need in that? Is there like, when doing a customized spread, is there a card that the energy of that archetype you want to focus on? And you can follow, like, there are, you know, I know some people like to follow rule by rule, this is the way, but when I work with people and advise them, I really advise everyone to strongly rely on your intuition of what resonates with you, that's like the most healing for you in a practice.
How do you feel like intuition overlaps with creativity? Or if somebody were to say something like, oh, that's just in your imagination, right?
I think that they're tied together, right? Like, I think for me, I think that one definitely informs the other. I think that I'm a highly creative person. I mean, obviously, visually, artistically, my background is fashion and design, and I illustrated my own deck, but a lot of that comes from my intuition of how to proceed. And I think that kind of both are an expression of the other. And if you are someone who embraces and understands creativity, it's not used as a negative word. I think people that don't understand it use it kind of to condemn, of like, oh, the creatives, or like, oh, those artists, mm-hmm. you know? Mm-hmm. But I think it's actually like a beautiful expression of intuition, personally. Yes.
Yeah, I agree with that. I would answer that similarly. And I would also say to those folks, like, so what?
Yeah. Right?
Like, if I'm using my creativity to put my soul at rest, to put my anxiety to rest, to lead myself into, you need to be creative in order to see what's next for you in your life.
Yeah.
So why would it be a bad thing if you were using your creativity to sort of connect to or build a spiritual life?
Right. And if there was one universal way, it would have worked by now, right?
Right. Like, so everyone would have been sold on it.
Yeah, why is there so much, you know, disharmony if there was one way to exist, it would be that easy.
Yeah.
No, I totes agree. So because I ask everybody this question, you, as I've said in the intro, are the King of Swords, which makes so much sense for the work that you do, you know, as a writer, producer, and with Finder Seekers, really like speaking the truth in an eloquent way and in often a very like undeniable way. Other than embodying King of Swords, do you have a favorite card in the tarot deck?
So I have a few favorite cards, but I really get excited when I see the Two of Cups and the Three of Cups, mm-hmm. right? Because both of those mean that, I'm not as well versed in the cards.
No, I love it. You're good. You have a good understanding.
Well, that's only thanks to you. But I feel like I get excited because I think I'm about to meet a collaborator or someone really is about to enrich my life when mm-hmm. I see the Two of Cups. And then when I see the Three of Cups, I think, there's going to be like a group energy. Like, I love a team. Yeah. I love a squad. Like,
it's celebration too.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. When people come together to make something exciting. Yeah.
Yeah.
So both of those cards thrill me to see.
I love that. Yeah. Three of Cups is TLC in mine. I love them. They're just like happy. Like, love to see them in the deck. Love to see them in a reading. It's good stuff coming in.
Yeah. Yeah. For sure. What's your favorite card? Oh, I know it changes, but
gosh, you know, I really, obviously I made myself King of Wands, because I love that it's, you know, kings are fire, wands are fire. It's like fire energy. Mm-hmm. And I really see that in myself. It's, I can be obviously amazingly, get things done and ambitious, but also can be reckless, which is the downside of the King of Wands. I love that king. What do I love to see, in addition to that? I love the Knight of Cups. It's Dolly Parton, and mm-hmm. I'm single, and I'm waiting for my Knight of Cups, which is the romantic knight, which is Dolly. Mm-hmm. So, you know, yeah, come on, Dolly. I like to see that one. Mm-hmm. I love all the pentacles, because most of them, except for 4 and 5, most of them are like bling bling, mm-hmm. abundance. Yeah, I like to see in their earth energy, and as I'm fire, it's grounding for me.
Yeah.
So, yeah.
Nice.
Do you have, a least favorite card that you're like, that you hate to see when you get it in a reading?
Is it the Five of Swords?
Five of Swords is it's not fun. All the fives, because they're life lessons, yeah. right? They're things that are like, when you move through them, they're empowering, and they're kind of points that you're like, you definitely grow. They're growth periods.
Five of Swords is just like whining and crying about everything that's going wrong in your life. Who is it in your
It's
deck?
Omarosa, because uh-huh. it's basically like, even when you win, was it a win? Like, yeah. was it kind of like, was it worth it? Yeah. Was it like, it can be a victorious card, but it's yeah. like, did you do it with integrity? Was it like, you
Fives in general, I feel like, are wonky, right?
Fives are not my fave. Yeah, I would agree.
Five there. Of Pentacles is weird friends.
It's
it's like your weird friend that you're just like alone with all the time, and the two of you have this janky existence.
The traditional deck is like the loss of things, and it's kind of the loss of perspective of, okay, the money and that was all important. And it's really it's this, you know, sad person alone in the snow with their friend. Mm-hmm. And mine, it's the Countess card, and it's kind of like a, gaining perspective of what matters, of when you always focus on these external things, knowing that, like, you do have this support around you, and changing your perspective from the, okay, I want the pentacles, but, like, what do you have that is there? And, like, knowing that, you know,
yeah,
to pay attention to what you already have.
Yeah, that card bums me out, too.
Fair enough.
So, other than tarot, it seems like astrology is like one of your sort of tools in your toolbox that you find as like an avenue to connect to making sense of the yeah. world around you and stuff like that. And what are the other things?
Well, astrology is probably like, I mean, if I had minors, sorry, Lola's been so bad tonight. If I had minors, it would be like, I understand astrology, I've studied it, but I'm the least versed in astrology of all of the elements that inform tarot. But tarot is, you know, definitely like every card has an astrological ruling, and there's also a lot of numerology that comes into play with tarot. So that's something that's I have studied a lot about, and have a lot of understanding around. And then just the archetypes in general, like that was something that, you know, Carl Jung, the basis of modern psychology from his viewpoint, was about archetypes and how our subconscious processes them. So that's kind of the visuals of the cards. Okay. So that's for me, it's really like that's how I learned it first, was like the archetypes of the cards, then numerology, and then astrology, in that order. Yeah,
archetypes, numerology, astrology.
Yeah,
cool.
Yeah,
I feel like if I had my majors in, you know, the school of woo-woo, yeah, I would probably major in philosophy and world religions.
Yeah.
And, yeah, and then I think I would minor in linguistics, because I think so much of what gets communicated is really, like, we hang on words, right? Like,
yeah.
I read Glennon Doyle's book, Love Warrior, right? And I'm going to totally bastardize this and paraphrase, but the word for woman, historically, all the definitions that you look up, it says, like, man's helper, helper of man, right? Woman. And she was like, this cannot be right. And she kept digging and digging and digging until she realized that the word for woman in the original translation of the Bible, right? I forget, I think that book was Aramaic. Genesis was at first Aramaic. The word for woman only exists three other times in Aramaic. And that specific word was also used to mean warrior. And then at another point, the same word was used to mean love. And so you're like, woman, love, and warrior. And you're like, oh. So it's not just man's helper. It's like, oh, God created this other creature, right, which is a lover and a warrior, which is such a much better definition than man's helper, you know?
Yeah, isn't that the name of Glennon Doyle's book?
It is.
That's
Love
beautiful.
Yeah.
I didn't know the cause behind it, but that's beautiful.
Yeah, so I think it's so important to study languages and study, you know, like, word meaning. One of the reasons I love Rob Bell is because, you know, he studied Aramaic, Greek, and whatever the third language, is it Hebrew, that the Bible was written in?
Hebrew,
and so he can, when he, like, dials it back, he's like, so this word originally meant this, but then 9 million white guys throughout history have changed it to suit their own agenda.
Yeah.
You know?
Well, it's funny when you said earlier, it's something that I recently, like, learned in my studies, like, when you said earlier that things are shifting, and is it astrological? Is it, like, collective consciousness? And when the calendar, when everyone thought the world was going to end in 2012, because the Mayan calendar only went to 2012, when, like, you go back to that, it's that the end of masculine ruling or energy in the collective was till 2012, and then it shifts into feminine energy from the end of, you know, 2013 moving forward. So we're just at the beginning of that when you think of how long the Mayan calendar existed up until that point in masculine energy. So when everyone's feeling this, like, shift in consciousness and a move towards spirituality, a move towards how do we, you know, heal ourselves, the planet, each other, it's like as that energy is shifting when you follow that calendar, which is interesting. It's not that the world was going to end. It was kind of going to end as we know it,
right?
You know?
Well, that world would end.
Yeah, yeah.
It's going out hard. I'm not going to lie. It's not going down easy, you know?
Yeah.
Feels like there's this sort of last push of violent energy that's, like, being burped up all over, certainly the United States, but definitely all over the world. And it's like, oof, it's not a pretty ending. It's not a gentle ending.
Yeah.
The masculine energy, but Hopefully the sort of divine masculine and the divine feminine, as opposed to the shadow masculine and the shadow feminine, can sort of emerge. You know?
Definitely.
Far out.
So we're at the end of the half hour. So I mention it constantly. I reference your podcast, but everyone should definitely check out Finder Seekers. Can you just, in addition to the podcast, which is available on iTunes, Spotify, basically everywhere you can listen to podcasts, right?
iTunes, Spotify, Podbean, Google Play.
And then what is your Instagram as well?
It's at Finders_Seeker.
And we'll list it in the notes of this podcast as well. So check out everything that Anna's working on. It's amazing. It's inspirational. And for someone who is so anti-religion, you've really opened up my mind and taught me so much through the work that you're doing. Keep it up, King of Swords.
Oh, thanks, King of Wands.
So amazing to have our very own King of Swords on the podcast. Please check out Anna Zipor's podcast, which is also amazing. Finder Seekers, available, I think, everywhere the podcasts are available, iTunes, Spotify, etc. So this week, we had a couple great coming out of the spiritual closet submissions. I always love when there's a bunch, but it does make it hard to choose. My favorite this week was from Lisa in Toronto. Lisa writes, "I love your coming out of the spiritual closet segment. I used to feel self-conscious about having crystals on my desk at work, but recently I've decided to just embrace it. And when people make rude comments or ask condescending questions, I just go into really lengthy detail about each crystal's energy and purpose. So all in all, they're actually really keeping bad energy away from my desk in many levels." Oh my God, that's hilarious and amazing. Keep up the good work, Lisa, and thank you for sharing. To quickly recap, November is brought to us by the Truth Bomb King of Swords, the Fulfillment Happy Family card, 10 of Cups, aka the Blondes, and this week is brought to us by the Ace of Pentacles. An exciting new opportunity for abundance is on the way in. Don't forget to check out CardsEB on Instagram, and if you get a sec, please rate and review this podcast. And for New Yorkers, I will be at Journal doing some in-store readings, and I'll also be selling the tarot deck. So come grab a Badass Bitches tarot deck and some sexy lingerie on Sunday, December 2nd at their Union Square location. I'll be at the Open Center December 21st for their winter solstice events, selling decks and reading as well. And check out my Instagram and badassbitchestarot.com. I'm always posting additional upcoming events on there. Thanks so much. And as always, stay magical AF.